Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dawn-o-mite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Things that I'd rather do than watch Brody fucking King wrestle. Pull my teeth out with a plier. Good evening, everybody. It is July 6th, 2022. We are 1 week away from Fighter Fest. The battle of we the people. How's everybody doing? Hope you had a great weekend. 4th of July holiday. Dynamite just went off the air. Great American Bash ended yesterday. I will talk about both. Couple of tidbits. We got to talk about injuries in AEW because we got some news today about Santana. Not good. What we feared appears to have happened. So we'll talk about that. As we always do on Wednesdays, no WWE, no Raw, no SmackDown. We save that for this weekend. Now, just want to let everybody know that loves the shows here. I had a meeting today with Pro Wrestling TV, and let's just say, if you're sick of this face, you're going to see a lot of more of it very, very soon. Not only am I going to be involved in a lot of outside projects, but panels, discussions, a few other things. Now, as far as this channel here, I don't think much will change. But what I got to start getting used to is really finishing shows, really sharp, 60 minutes, 90 minutes. It's really got to be one or the other because you will have yours truly on live TV very soon. That's all I could tell you right now. We'll talk about that in the near future. And please do not make me feel like sharing good news with the family is somehow, you know, saying F you to the haters. I don't do this anymore to piss off haters. I do this to make you smile, to make you laugh. You think that felt good using a dirty pair of pliers that I probably use, like taking a screw out of a toilet? I didn't bother sanitizing it. It's just I watched Brody King, and I'm like, you know, I'll take things I'd rather do than watch Brody King wrestle for 400, the Daily Double. I'd rather zipper my pants with no underwears on and let it get stuck. I'd rather pour rubbing alcohol on an open wound. I'd rather lick. No, we won't go there. We won't go there. All right. Yeah, look, that main event was lackluster. I don't know what the fuck that was. We had the Rampage Rumble, the Royal Rampage, whatever that shit is. And oh my God. We got to talk about ratings in a little bit. Now, unfortunately, the Great American Bash rating is delayed. Everything with the holiday kind of like pushed everything back an extra day. So we'll have the rating tomorrow. We'll talk about it on Saturday. But, and later on, we're going to give away this very cool autographed Seth Rollins Hell in a Cell photo. That is for everybody that was part of the watch party yesterday. If you're around Friday night, I have two very cool Undertaker items. One is vintage, one is from today, and one of them is not a photo. So it's something that we showed on this show a long time ago when we were playing around with retro stuff. We're going to give something away Friday. Got to be part of the watch party. And as I said before, even if your TV provider is not available, you show up, chat with everybody, watch it on your TV at home. Just as good. We'll talk about NXT in a little bit, but let's get this episode of Dynamite out of the way. I'll tell you the truth. You know, for me on Dynamite tonight, you know, the things that made me feel good, you know, look, they're in Rochester, home of Brody Lee. So seeing them pay a little love and tribute, I could get past the QT Marshall negative one stuff that we saw today. You know, we could get past that. There's no reason why we can't be a little bit real and sentimental. You know, it doesn't have to be only for the live fans in attendance. I thought that was pretty cool. I thought Wardlow winning the TNT championship was fucking awesome. I don't know why the hell it was a street fight. Did not feel like a street fight. Why? Because we got one belt shot that he no-sold? That was not a street fight. That was fucking awful. What was not awful was friend of the family, Kevin Matthews, in the corner of America's top team. That is him holding that TNT championship. I go back watching Kevin Matthews wrestling up close and personal. Going back, my God, it's got to be, what, 17 years? And for anybody that loved the old Don Tony wrestle crap, indie manager stuff, you know, I had some physical interactions with Kevin Matthews. We'll revisit that one day, not today. You know, we want to stay focused on the topics at hand. So that made me feel good. You know what also made me feel good? Ruby Soho's awful fucking acting. You would think on a pre-recorded segment, they would have said, look, cut, cut. Did you see this segment? For those that missed Dynamite tonight, Eddie Kingston, oh, I got the video of it. We could have to keep it under 5 seconds, though. We had Eddie Kingston in the ring talking about blood and guts last week, and he says, hey, Jericho, I didn't make you bleed, so I owe you one. I'm still going to go after you. Blah, 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 blah. Jericho is on the screen. Hey, Eddie. Hey, Eddie, you said you want me to bleed? You don't think I'm ruthless? You want to see how ruthless I can get? So Ruby Soho is leaning against an SUV. Now, anyone out there, if you've ever had a loose door on a car, there is a big bolt in the middle of the door jamb that you can tight, and that should straighten out a little bit of the looseness with the door. If you over-tighten it, your door won't close. Trust me, I have my original 1991 Lincoln Mark 7 special edition. I still got it. And I had that happen about 2 years ago. I over-tightened the door, and I go to close the door, and the door don't want to close. It keeps just popping out. You can play around with the bolts. Obviously, we don't want Ruby to legit get injured. And the spot wasn't that bad, except for one thing. Ruby is, they show her leaning against the SUV. And Ty is yelling at her, get up, get up. No, she is up. So what does Ruby do? Any of you out there, any of you that live in horrible neighborhoods, maybe you live in downtown Chicago, Spanish Harlem, which actually isn't as bad anymore. Bad parts of Brooklyn, California, choose your pick. Really bad neighborhoods. You ever like walk down the street and you see like a couple of gangs and they take someone and they put their head inside the door and then they slam the door shut, you know, fucking up their head. And you ever see somebody do that in person? Do you ever see someone who intentionally shuts a door on someone? They usually hold them in place. You know, you usually don't have to say to the person, hey, Manuel, get over here, you fucking Manuel. I'm going to slam your head into the fucking door. Do me a favor. Put your head in the door. Yeah, put it in the jam. Oh, I'm going to break your wrist. Hey, Ruby, come here, Ruby. I'm going to break your wrist. Look at it closely, everyone. I didn't have time to put it in slow-mo. But there you go. Oh, let me put it right in there. No. Did you see that? Look, let me put it right in the door. Oh, there you go. Now you can slam the door closed. Come on, man. Shit. That had the potential of being even better. And she's got her hand chilling on the door. Hey, Ruby, you know, I'm going to slam you down. Put the hand in the door. Look, let me get myself in position. Oh, there you go. Look. No. My hand got crazy glued to the side of the door jamb. No. Fuck you. Awful. And everybody's out there, oh, Ruby might join the Blackpool Club. Good. Good. I want that. That was a dumb segment. Awful. Bush League. Bush League. Trust me. When we were going to put Vinny DiGuido. Remember Vinny DiGuido? We were going to close the hood, the trunk of my white Lincoln. You saw that video. We were going to close his head and we threw him in the trunk instead. Closed the trunk and drove away. That looked 10 times better. Remember that? Because we practiced it a couple of times. We did it like two times and it sucked. The third time, I was like, hey, that's good. Come on, man. Seriously. By the way, I am becoming a fan of Chase University. I'm starting to like it, man. I'm starting to become a fan of Andre Chase. That guy, the censored vulgarity. But I'm telling you, I'm not going to wear as many wrestling shirts. I'll probably go more the D'Italiano. It's been requested. But I will tell you, one day very, very soon, I will be donning the Chase University shirt. They're going to NXT UK. They're going to NXT UK. So that's going to be interesting. We'll talk about NXT a little bit later. I just felt like showing a little love for Chase University. All right. So tonight, oh, how much fun was that for Marina Shafir? I don't mind watching that every week. All right, Marina, today's class is we're going to keep beating you up in the corner and all you're going to do is sell, sell. It's like that scene from Trading Places. Sell, sell. You're just going to get pin attempt after pin attempt after pin attempt. You're going to keep kicking out and kicking out, kicking out, kicking out. I thought she did better today. But please, please, having some stiff elbows, hard chops, little headbutt, and trying to get extra physical with Marina to make it look like a shoot, I'm not going to turn around and say, hey, you know what? We should lighten up on Marina. She took a beating today. No, learn how to fucking sell. Learn how to fucking reverse. Learn how to tell a story. You know, this is not a video game. I mean, if you looked very, very closely today, all her offense, for the most part, is like kicks. Kicks. More kicks. But that was interesting to watch. But, you know, it's funny how you get this climate of AEW. Like, we don't need gimmick names. We don't need catchy things. We just want great wrestling. And I'm not saying that Thunder Rosa and Toni Storm aren't great. Of course, they're awesome. But now because they stepped in shit, Thunder Storm. Ah! Thunderstorm. Ah, how do you like those AEW Women's Tag Team Championships? Huh? Thunderstorm. Wow, so creative. Now we're going to get Thunderstorm on our TV all the time. And where the fuck is this going to lead? Why? Because it's going to look good on a shirt? Where the fuck is Britt Baker? Deeb and Martinez are going to wrestle on Rampage against who? Lisa Nobody number one and Maria Bland number two? Who the fuck cares? Oh, decisive win. Come on, smoke and mirrors. Smoke and mirrors, in my opinion. But that match, a little bit interesting. Still think that Marina Shafir is not ready for prime time. Marina Shafir, I want to see her AEW Dark and Elevation record to be 95-4. Let her get 90 wins on Dark and Elevation. Let it get to the point like, oh, you know who's gotten better than Marina Shafir? Think I'm kidding? We talked about it yesterday on the watch party for Great American Bash, and I saw last night when I was looking for a screenshot of her from Great American Bash, I saw a lot of people, important people, going out of their way to show a little bit of love and a respect for Tiffany Stratton, not because she's a blonde, not because she's got a tremendous body, not because she's got beautiful lips for some of you out there, but she, if you watch her week after week after week after week after week, she's putting it together. She is putting it together. Yesterday, she had her best match of her career against Wendy Chu. And of course, Wendy Chu led her along, but she did fabulous yesterday. And that's the thing that I've been saying for 2.5 years when NXT needed to go back to its roots and build the stars of tomorrow. And there are people like me and some of you out there that like to watch people on the rise. It's like watching AAA baseball or college football or college basketball. It's not just rooting for your team or your school or your state. It's to see the prospects of tomorrow. Here in New York with the Mets, there's this catcher, Alvarez, I think it is, and everybody's watching AAA to see him rise to the major leagues. So we're watching before our very eyes people developing, gelling, starting to put it together. Is she ready for the main roster? No, not even close. But you look at Marina Shafir and all that time she's getting on Dynamite, you know, because of her background, because who she's married to, and because they think she's got some name recognition. Somebody obviously is extremely fancied over Marina Shafir. You look at the rest of that women's roster and you say, what happened to Athena? What happened to Athena? Is there some holiday that she celebrates that suddenly she's absent? And I know what some people can say, well, DT, you know, not everybody could be on TV every single week. You know, how about a little continuity, a little bit? What happened to Chris Statlander? You know, what was this week? What, they couldn't get into Buffalo? So Stratton, in my opinion, better than Marina Shafir. And if you don't watch NXT on a regular basis, don't take what I say and try to, you know, criticize it. Watch and see what I'm talking about, and then you'll understand why I say that. All right. So as I said at the beginning of the show, Scorpio Sky loses the TNT championship to Wardlow. Wardlow is your new TNT champion, and good. They made the right call. The street fight stipulation, unnecessary. You know, if it's a street fight, you expect a lot of weapons to be used. You expect a lot of interference, a lot of clusterfuck. They had a whole army of people around ringside. And other than some of these MMA guys with these pussy kicks outside, I think Zach Gowen does better with his kicks. Other than that, there really was not much. This was not a street fight. It was totally unnecessary. They put street fight because they want to do a belt shot in front of the referee and they don't fucking DQ anybody. So they, oh, we'll do a street fight and that kind of clears up. He wins. Rojo Bear says, well, Sky was hurt going into the match. Okay, what does that have to do with it being a street fight or a regular match or anything else? You mean to tell me with 95 people at ringside, you can't have Dan Lambert distract the referee for a second. Scorpio Sky hits him with the belt, not in front of the referee, and just have it as a regular match? Why do we need the extra stip? I mean, look, in the end, the right person won. And that's the bottom line. I mean, that's all that matters at this point. Wardlow is now the champion, and I got a little MJF tidbit in a little bit. We'll talk about some comments that Wardlow made about MJF, and we'll talk about Tony Khan's revealing silence about MJF. It's about time we repeat the obvious, something we said weeks ago. Suddenly, nobody has sources about Sasha Banks or MJF. No, nothing. Zero. Zilch. They blew their load. They tried to manipulate it to put their little personal spin on it. And what ended up happening is nothing. And then they're like, #, I don't want to be first, I want to be right. Yeah, that's the way you should go. All right. Moxley with a weird promo at the beginning of the show. Moxley saying that the haters are betting against him and that Brody could surprise him. No, they're not. Tell me one fucking hater out there that actually thought Brody King had some type of a shot tonight against Jon Moxley. I mean, I love Moxley. We all do. But his promo made zero sense. You know, some people hear it on the surface. Oh, Moxley, intense promo. Made no fucking sense. Another unnecessary segment tonight. Sterling Mark Sterling, because he does so much work behind the scenes, we got to give him multiple segments on the show tonight. And more, because these people have to deal with Rampage. He's in the back with Tony Nese. And they have a petition. They want to get Swerve Strickland out of AEW because of his cheating and all this other stuff. Okay, totally unnecessary segment. Keith Lee shows up, and suddenly Swerve is nowhere to be around. Maybe he was taking a shit, but for some reason, Swerve didn't confront these guys at all tonight. But Keith Lee shows up, and he isn't interested in signing the petition, and neither are we. Later on in the night, Orange Cassidy is with Best Friends, and Mark Sterling suddenly has enough people signed it to get him out. We just need one more signature, just one more. Orange Cassidy, sign this petition, and Swerve is gone. Oh, no, I got to consult with my lawyer first. So the, like, you know, the five-tool player, you know, the guy that just plays all position. Oh, now I am a lawyer. I'm an attorney for Orange Cassidy. So now Orange Cassidy is going to fight Tony Nese on Rampage Friday. And if Orange Cassidy loses, he has to sign a petition and Swerve is gone. Imagine if WWE did that. Imagine if WWE, and I don't like comparing the two, but for all of these people who jerk off AEW, you know, I don't mind showing love to AEW. I show love to AEW. I criticize AEW. I show love to AEW. But there's some people out there that do this to AEW. And you know what's worse? It's like one of those bondage videos. I don't want to be touched. You're going to be touched. I'm going to show this love to you. No, no, no. If we do bad things, tell us we do bad things. No, it's fucking awesome. Orange Cassidy, he's going to sign the contract. What am I, fucking three? Tell me, seriously. This is fucking eight. It's Danhausen. It's Danhausenville. What am I fucking? Did I smoke like crazy weed tonight and not realize it? Maybe, you know what? Maybe it was the pliers. Maybe there was some toxic dirt on it or something, and now it's making me loony. That's what we have to. I got to do this watch party on Friday. What the fuck is writing this? Christian, cutting a promo in the ring with Luchasaurus. Now, as we said 2 weeks ago, now batting for MJF, biggest asshole on the roster, number 19, Christian Cage. Of course he's going to say some outrageous, over-the-top stuff. He is the current asshole of the company. So he's talking about last week. He says after Blood and Guts, everybody's still talking about him. Here comes Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy is suddenly friends with Jungle Boy. And Christian Cage says, you know what? I think you're proving that Jeff is the sober one in the family. They talked about Jeff. They talked about his sobriety. Oh, my God. How could dare you? This is fucking entertainment. This is what they live for. People are like, don't go there. Yeah, you go there. And then suddenly, does Michael Jordan, is he sick? I'm being serious for a minute. Is he sick? Did something happen? Did he get mugged in Chicago? I mean, does he have some type of an illness? Now, for some reason, every fucking time on TV with wrestling, I either hear Michael Jordan or Ring of Honor. Every time AEW says Ring of Honor on their shows, take a drink. I know Tony Khan owns Ring of Honor, but you know, when you get into the Rampage ratings and you keep stressing this Ring of Honor influence, soon you are going to be drawing access numbers. Soon you're seeing the decline already. I can't wait for Death Before Dishonor. No, I hope it does fabulous. I hope it knocks it out of the park, and I really mean that as a wrestling fan. But I am dying to see what kind of attendance it gets. I'm dying. Unless they booked a 1,000-seat building, which would be very smart, and if it only fills 1,000, nobody could say, oh, I only drew 1,000. No, you say, fucking thing sold out. That's smart. But I wonder, I got to look up the seated capacity for that building. Something tells me it's 1,000, maybe 1,500 at the most. I can't see them putting it in a 5,000 seat building. But Michael Jordan, look, I grew up on Michael Jordan. I'm a big fan of Michael Jordan. Shit, I got video of him playing in the Birmingham Barons or whatever it was when he was trying to make the Chicago White Sox team. You know, I have a lot of love for Michael Jordan. But now every week, Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan. What about the last 10, 15 years? So, Matt Hardy says Christian is the Michael Jordan of being an asshole. Now they're basically ripping each other. Christian is using Luchasaurus to go further. Matt Hardy's using Jungle Boy to go further. Matt Hardy's not even caring about his brother, blah, 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 blah. And then Luchasaurus beats the fuck out of Matt Hardy. Puts him to a table, leans him up against a ring post, kicks him in the head. I like Luchasaurus as a heel because now he could go slow. And a slow Luchasaurus, a methodical Luchasaurus, is better than a high-flying Luchasaurus. I like what they're doing with Luchasaurus. I just hope we don't get the goofy reuniting where Jungle Boy shows up and Luchasaurus does one of these. Now, pretend I have a dinosaur mask on. Just picture it, and he does one of these. Like when you talk to a dog, and you're like, you want to take a walk with me to the mall? When I walk past the park and I pass across a bunch of hot babes, make sure you jump on them so they fall in love with you, and maybe I can get some pussy tonight. Remember that. Jungle Boy is going to show up, and Luchasaurus suddenly is not going to understand English or doesn't understand Jungle Boy, and he's going to be like a dog. You're going to see him go like this. All right, next week, Claudio versus Jake Hager. They name drop WWE. Jake Hager says you were never a Ring of Honor champion. Yes, I'm taking a drink. It's water. You were never WWE world champion. You'll never be world champion. Oh, but I'm 2-0. And next week, I'm going to be 3-0. Now I sound like Miro, who called out the House of Black this week. The Redeemer will now be stuck against the House of Black for the foreseeable future. No titles, no gold. Suddenly, God don't want gold. God want black. House of Black. Butcher and the Blade lose to Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland. Butcher and the Blade got cheered. There were parts of this match where Keith Lee got booed pretty good. That's because the Butcher and the Blade are very popular in upstate New York. Butcher is in a band, and he is very, very respected and loved. I think AEW... It was cool that they put the Butcher and the Blade on TV because of that crowd, but I think they also underestimated the popularity of those guys. This match was a mess. It was a mess. If you watch the match closely, especially towards the latter part, you have one segment where the Blade is in the ring on his knee in a corner, and the Butcher is being fed with double-teaming maneuvers by Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee. And the Blade is just there watching. Now, if he was selling that he was beat up and injured, that's fine. But he's on his knee, and he's watching. As soon as the Butcher gets knocked out of the ring, here he comes trying to hit some offensive moves. But what this happened in the match was Blade pulled Strickland in front of Butcher. Keith Lee inadvertently hit Strickland. They're teasing a little bit this dissension. Some people thought Butcher and Blade were going to get the win over this. No, that wasn't the case. There was a 2 3/4 count where Keith Lee was late in breaking up the pin and the crowd was chanting bullshit. But ultimately, they hit their finishing maneuver on the Blade. They get the win. There was a fist pump towards the end of the match. Like, okay, we're having some bumps in the road, but, you know, we're back on the same page. So, soon as the match is over, Hobbs comes out. And once again, for a second week in a row, the AEW audience still doesn't know what Hobbs sounds like because he's screaming on the mic and there's no reaction at all. It was only until after he showed his face, oh, it's Hobbs! Ah! And him and Ricky Starks, they throw shade at Keith Lee and Strickland. Hobbs called Swerve a trick-ass bitch. They pretty much are trying to issue the challenge that they're the best tag team, and here come the Young Bucks. Because the Young Bucks have no opponents right now. Fans want FTR. See, that's what happens when you push yourself in the corner like that with FTR. They have every belt out there except for the AEW belts. Yeah, we've taken notice that for a very long time. FTR, AAA titles, oh, good. Ring of Honor titles, oh, good. Now IWGP, oh, good. How's about AEW? No, we got to give it to the foundation, and I don't mean Hart. So Young Bucks come out, and suddenly they want to fight next week in a triple threat match. So next week we get Hobbs and Starks versus Strickland and Lee versus the Young Bucks. Can you guess who's winning that fucking match? Crowd is chanting FTR loud, and did you hear the little sort of shot towards MJF? One of the Young Bucks, when the crowd was chanting at FTR, one of them said, you know, we're better than them. And you know it. Because that's MJF's line. I don't know if anybody picked up on that. Malakai Black cutting a promo on how Brody King is going to beat Jon Moxley later on because Brody King cannot talk. We had the Kingston interview and the Ruby Soho stuff I showed you earlier. We had the Dark Order segment. They're here to stay. Dark Order is forever. QT Marshall comes out. Are we going to cater to this negative one until he's 18 years old? Challenges negative one to a match. Now I'm getting Kenny Omega Japan vibes, but we don't get that. Hangman Page comes out. Crazy, crazy, crazy over with that crowd tonight. The most over guy on the roster tonight. He comes out, cleans house. Him and the Dark Order beat the crap out of QT Marshall. We think that negative one is going to hit the ring and pin QT Marshall, but they give the microphone to negative one, and he says, no, I'll wait until I'm 18. I can't complain too much about that segment. It was mainly pay tribute to Brody and very beloved. And, you know, 5 minutes like that, especially under the circumstances, I'm fine with it. No issues. Jim Ross joins hour two. Roosh defeats Penta. Once again, it's almost like what they do with 10. Number 10, right? Where they turn the mask sideways and he can't see and he gets pinned. Now it's let's pull the mask off of Penta every time because now he's got to cover his face because that's more important, and it is, than, you know, trying to kick out of, you know, the move. Maybe Ray Fenix, we say Phoenix, but Excalibur is, you know, like, you know, Konosuke Takeshita. It's no longer, it's Konosuke Takeshita. Like, just fucking say it how we pronounce it, Konosuke Takeshita. But no, they don't want to say it like that because some people say, you know, I'm going to go take a shita. A bull shita. That's a true story for you newer people out there. When I used to do work for USA Pro Wrestling, we had a wrestler do, you know, an Arab gimmick. We were trying to come up with a name. And I said, why don't we call him Abul Shetta? A-B-U-L, last name S-H-E-T-T-A-H. Abul Shetta. They didn't go with that. So I started using it on my early podcast. I would come out and say, I am Don Tony, a.k.a. Abul Shetta. Mass Maniac comes up with Gandhi Ria Akbar. Say that best. Gandhi Ria Akbar. Sounded like gonorrhea. Would not be doing that character in 2021 or 2022. So, JR joins hour two. Roosh defeats Penta. Towards the end of the match, Penta goes for the pin. Andrade puts Roosh's foot on the ropes. We get a little bit of a clusterfuck. Referee distracted. Roosh, low blow, rips off the mask, pins Penta. think pretty expected, especially you don't just bring Roosh in, do these promos, making him look like the Miami Vice version of Deacon Batista back in the day, just to lose. So he gets the win. They start hyping up Death Before Dishonor, July 23rd, Jay Lethal versus Samoa Joe for the Ring of Honor TV champion. Is Samoa Joe just regulated to Ring of Honor now? This motherfucker ain't fighting. Is he on the injured list? I don't think so. Just saying. Another worthless segment, as I said before, Tony Nese, Sterling Mark Sterling, Orange Cassidy, best friend. Now, soon, if I keep doing Danhausen, he'll sound Japanese. Gun Club and the Acclaimed defeated Fuego del Sol and Roughing It. They're more into the names. Leon Ruffin. Who came up with Roughing It? How are they Roughing It? That guy was NXT North American champion. Roughing It. Anyway, Max Caster is about to do his rap. Gun Club take the mic away from him. They're still pissed off after what happened last week. Gun Club steal the victory from the Acclaim. Acclaim was going to get the victory. Gun Club took the victory themselves, selfish. After the match, Gun Club attacks the Acclaimed. Here comes Billy Gunn. He's pushing the Gun Club off. What are you doing? Teasing that he's going to take the sides of the Acclaimed once again. This time around, Billy Gunn attacks Max Caster and laid out. And Anthony Bowen, suddenly looking mentally disabled, we have to say it like that, instead of like, you just hit my partner. You just laid him out. The fuck is wrong with you? Why would you do that? No, he's like, scissor me, bitch. Scissor me, daddy-o. Scissor me, ass. Mr. S, you deserve to get the famouser. Now, I like the Acclaimed turning baby face. It's about time. They'll feud with the Gun Club. I'm happy that they're getting, you know, TV exposure that's not Rampage or, Dark or Elevation. But, you know, come on, man. You just laid out my partner. You turned against us. The fuck you do? Seriously. Scissor me, bitch! My fingers hurt after that. I wonder if Anthony Bowens, if he, you never know who's watching, believe me. I want to say something, a shout out to somebody tonight, but I can't do it. But all I'm going to say is one of the greatest factions to appear in WWE programming in the last 15 years, member of that faction, I found out today, is a big, loyal supporter of this show. And it was during the meeting that we had earlier, they're like, oh, yeah, so-and-so loves your show. I'm like, Good. All right, Thunderstorm over Marina Shafir and Nyla Rose. The baddies show up. We got an intern baddie. Stupid question, everyone. You think they could go this route with the baddies and Stokely as a little shot on John Laurinaitis? I'm not saying, but you see Stokely kind of like go to put his arm around Layla Gray, and she's like, get that fucking hand out of there. I wonder if they could do like a, you know, shot at John Laurinaitis with Stokely. I'm not saying to be a pig, but maybe, you know, he's like, hey, you know, listen to me. You do what I do. You know what I mean? You know, you'll be a baddie for life. I don't think Stokely would want to do something like that. So, main event, John Moxley beats Brody King. I forgot to mention, Roosh is a former Ring of Honor champion. Brody King, Ring of Honor. Moxley mentioned that, you know, Brody King's Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor. The match sucked. Crowd loved it. Hey, John Moxley's one of my favorites. If I go to a show and Moxley's going to wrestle, I'm getting to see someone I like. So, you know, for the live fans, that was fine. For the main event, you know, you did that Royal Rampage stuff for this guy, and then you get not only a predictable outcome, but you get like a lackluster match. I mean, I was having more fun looking at Brody Lee's rolls. He's got jelly rolls. I mean, all he needs is a tribal cock on his face, and he could be Samoa Joe 2.0 from back in the day. I mean, this guy's got rolls upon rolls. I just don't like the guy, especially after that Edge comment. I'm not one of these obsessed fans of Edge. When he made that remark, you just imagine on the other side of the keyboard, he thought he was so cool for school. Oh, he hit send. Look at me now, you house of pancake tattooed fucking Oompa Loompa. I don't want to be you. I don't want to be a wrestler. I don't want your job. You know, that's what people used to say back in the day. Oh, you're just jealous because you want to be. No, no fucking way. You Oompa Loompa fucking goof. You house of fucking bullshit ridiculousness. Unbelievable. So that was our episode of Dynamite tonight. Overall, a fun episode. I mean, it had good points, but some of the points were kind of like, eh. It was not one of their stronger episodes. Maybe they needed to give a magical title to it tonight. Because next week, it's Fyter Fest number one. And then, because it's so big, we have to have Fyter Fest number two. So, put a title. What would we have done tonight? I like the House of Black. And I never thought the House of Black looked like, you know, the Judgment Day. Why? Because they have dark. I mean, Edge with the Brood and the Ministry of Darkness and everything else. You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't even think we need to go there. So, Rampage on Friday. We got, and I'm saying it the way I want, Konosuke Takeshita versus Eddie Kingston. We have Mercedes Martinez and Serena Deeb. They're going to team up and beat the balls out of two nobodies. Jonathan Gresham and Lee Moriarty taking on the Gates of Anarchy with Tully Blanchard. I'm going to enjoy that match just to see Tully Blanchard back on my screen. And we have Orange Cassidy versus Tony Nese with the awesome stipulation about the petition. The fucking petition. Jesus Christ. All right. Before we talk about AEW injuries, let's talk a little briefly about NXT Great American Bash. Quick. Little programming note. Tomorrow, July 7th, I was going to be bringing back the mailbag. I completely forgot to put a preview video, a thread in the community section. Some of you emailed me already, but not enough that we could do a nice little pre-recorded episode over it. So we're going to do it next week, and I will have a video out very, very shortly. So if you want to send me an email, I know the email address is not perfectly centered. I'm not a perfect person. But July 14th will be your next mailbag, and you know, ask whatever. You know, no question is too stupid, believe me. All right, very quickly, yesterday, the big talk in Great American Bash, because look, curiosity is what piques people more than anything else. You know, we had new women's tag team champions, which we all pretty much figured that Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade were going to get it. Loved it. Definitely the right way to go. You know, every time, like, Toxic Attraction loses the title, they're going up to the main roster. Do you really think, seriously, I know they're eye candy, and I know that they're decent, but do you really think that Toxic Attraction is ready for the main roster? When you look at the caliber, would she get a fight? Dana Brooke and Tamina every week? What happens when they fight all these other women? They're going to get their ass handed to them. Now, if you want to put one or two women's tag teams in the tournament, when they start the tournament for the women's tag titles, fine. But they're not ready for the main roster. But they lost the tag belts yesterday. And I like the storyline about Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez. They are very, very close. So when Cora Jade turns on Roxanne Perez down the line, which needs to happen, it is going to be definitely the buzz of the NXT women's world. But the curiosity yesterday was because of a barcode. What's that called again? You know, they put that, it's not a barcode. I'm drawing a blank right now. Someone in the chat bail me out. They put something on the screen. No, it's a Q code. I remember. Q code. They put a Q code on the screen. And they tell everybody, QR code. Thank you, Kevin. QR code. You put your cell phone on the, face it on the screen, and your camera picks up the QR code, and it bounces you over to a website or a page or whatever it is. So yesterday, WWE had a QR code, and I was too lazy to scan it. I should have done it right away, but after we did the watch party, I did it. And it brings you to a page on WWE.com, and all this says is 8, 10, 11. Now, some people think that's a date. Some people think it's the hours, times, and minutes. Some people think it's a math equation. Nobody seems to know what the hell this is. My only guess is yesterday they hyped up A-Kid. And it was interesting because last week's watch party, we were talking about A-Kid. And we said, where the fuck is A-Kid suddenly? Well, A-Kid is on his way back. And yesterday, during the Great American Bash, they showed a video. They didn't show the guy's face, but it sounded like A-Kid, and it is A-Kid. And basically, his character is, you know, that he's a mastermind. Like, math is... So he's going to come out, and he's going to be like the Latino, young, 22-year-old infant, I don't know if that's his age, of Scott Steiner. Is he going to come out there and say, you have a 98% chance of 100% being this and 50%, you have 50% of a 98%? I don't fucking care about numbers. We were watching that segment yesterday. It felt like the intro to the Twilight Zone. But the reason why I think the 8, 10, 11, and please, WWE, do not make this a 10, 10, 10 moment. They're coming! They're coming! I hope it's not awful. But the reason why I think it has to do with A-Kid is because this other little screenshot with these random numbers and everything like that. So I don't know. We will see. But I think it may have to do with A-Kid. So it's not a date. Because look, August 10th is a Wednesday. I looked it up. Then I said, okay, maybe that's hours, minutes, and seconds. And then I'm like, wait a minute. If it was hours and minutes and seconds, it already went by because it showed up yesterday at like 9:30 in the evening. So this morning when I went up to pee, maybe that was the time that I was going to get up to pee because I did get up around 5:10 in the morning. I think I peed at the 8 hour, 10 minute and 11 second mark after that clip aired. So I hope it's not something absolutely stupid, but we will see. Match results from yesterday, Tiffany Stratton over Wendy Chu. Once again, props to this woman for really, really starting to put it all together. She's not main roster ready yet, but man, you look at her work from 2 months ago to now, she's got confidence and she's putting it together and people really took notice yesterday. Good for her. Trick Williams over Wes Lee, you know, a little goofy. Trick Williams with the water bottle, like blows water, shoots a load of water in Wesley's face. We don't realize right away it's supposed to be rubbing alcohol. Steals a win. The Creed brothers over Roddy Strong and Damon Kemp to retain the NXT tag titles. The beginning of the end of Roddy Strong in Diamond Mine and maybe more, as we've talked about before. That is already pretty much now in its final chapter. Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez winning the tag titles, beating Toxic Attraction. Carmelo Hayes retaining the NXT North American Championship against Grayson Waller, which was a fabulous match, man. Those two are on the, you know, they're on the fast pace to come into the main roster. And Trick Williams, telling you, A lot of people are not focusing on Trick Williams. That guy's got it. That guy has it. I'm telling you, Trick Williams, when he goes to that main roster, it's going to be really interesting to see what they do with him. Bron Breakker retaining the NXT championship over Cameron Grimes. After the match is over, JD McDonagh, who we used to know as Jordan Devlin. Some people think that he is kind of like Finn Balor. I see the similarities, the way he talks, the way he looks, his offense reminds me of a Finn Balor. I'm sure Jordan Devlin would rather be the first Jordan Devlin than the next Finn Balor. But that guy has some great, great offense to his repertoire. Let's see where it goes. I don't like the name because it's not a very easy name to spell. When you have to use multiple vowels together, I think O and U together, then you're like, is it O-U-G-H or is it Dana or is it Dona? You know, we don't have an Excalibur doing NXT where he's like, you know, stop saying Ray Phoenix. It's Ray Phoenix. Phoenix. Ray Phoenix. Not Konosuke Takeshita. It's Konosuke Takeshita. Fuck you. Fuck you. Yeah, we could call him JD. Props to JD from New York, because I saw what he wrote yesterday. He's like, hey, I like that the fans were chanting JD when they went off the air. Now we need JD McDonagh versus Don Tony D'Angelo. Make it happen, WWE. All right, a couple other tidbits from the Great American Bash yesterday. Apollo Crews, what a really strange promo. We had a good laugh about it yesterday. The promo he cut yesterday, Great American Bash, should have been done the second week after he... Remember that week after he debuted on NXT or came back? They showed him in the diner for 2 weeks. He should have cut this promo the week after. Because he comes out there and he says that his kids were so disappointed as what, you know, what he was doing before that they stopped watching. But now since he's been in NXT, they watch every week. I'm like, watch what? You in the diner? Is there a problem? Is there a problem? Sir, you didn't even buy coffee. Is there a problem? Like, the guys have one match in a month. Well, my kids watch every week now. They watch me. Watch you do what? So anyway, next week, he is going to get a match, and he's going to face Cesaro on Wish. I'm sorry, I can't get it out of my head. Giovanni Vinci! Giovanni Vinci! That's going to be an awesome match next week. Listen, man. Fabian Aichner could fucking go. But I don't like this at all. It just reminds me of Cesaro. You know what's interesting? If you look at the timeline, remember when Cesaro, we talked about this, right? All the reports that Cesaro has basically sent out feelers everywhere and hasn't been getting bites and he may return back to WWE. And then couple of days later, that's when Tony Khan reached out to him and they had the discussion. He ended up signing the deal. If you go back at the timeline, when they started doing this, it does sync up with when Tony Khan had the meeting with Claudio. And I wonder if once WWE found out through the grapevine that Claudio was going to sign with AEW, I think they went ahead and went full-blown, you know, Cesaro ripoff. Giovanni Vinci! But now he smiles. Now he smiles. They have a sensor on the cameras for NXT. Whenever you see Vinci teeth, you snap the camera. He could be looking around like this, and as soon as he smiles, stop smiling. It's annoying where Raquel Rodriguez is doing it. All right. Andre Chase University is going to NXT UK. Something that we picked up on last week, and it appears to be happening. We said last week, do not be surprised if Pretty Deadly challenge Brooks and Jensen for the NXT UK tag titles. And it seems like Pretty Deadly and the NXT UK tag titles are going back to the UK. So if you enjoy Pretty Deadly on NXT American soil. Start savoring it, because I think Pretty Deadly will be going back to the UK, and they will be staying there after they get these titles back. That's what it kind of feels like. And as we said a few moments ago, after Bron Breakker beat Cameron Grimes, he was attacked by JD McDonagh. That's to set up the next feud. Believe it or not, and Von Wagner and Solo Sikoa are going to be doing something. Okay, I'm fine with it. Next week, Roxanne Perez is going to cash in her opportunity from winning the breakout tournament. She's going to face Mandy Rose for the women's championship. And then next week, remember, we have Apollo Crews versus Giovanna Vinci. All right, let's start bringing this home. We are at 55. I'll probably spend another 25, 30 minutes with y'all. We'll try to get it exactly 90 minutes, do that little test tonight, because I am going to be going. See, the thing with live TV, and this is what they told me earlier today that I have to remember, I can't be like AEW tonight on Dynamite. Tony Khan says that if the match runs late, we are going to stay with it. Can't do that. When you're on live TV, if you have a time slot that's 90 minutes, I can't finish at 88 unless I have like a two-minute montage. I'll probably have to prepare like little montages to fill in a minute or two if I ever need it. And I can't turn around and say, oh, give me 5 minutes more. You know, no, if they have someone else coming on live right after me, I can't say, give me some extra minutes. So, all right. Yeah, and you know what? We got to show Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade at least once with these titles, right? So very, very cool. Very cool. All right. As I said earlier, the ratings for Great American Bash are delayed because of the 4th of July holiday. But I got to share something with you. I thought I was in Bizarro Land again with Rampage and ratings. And I will keep saying 7 p.m. time slot, Tony Khan, 7 p.m. Friday night, get that time slot for Rampage. Your numbers will go up substantially. I would argue that they would go up at least 50% in a matter of 2-3 weeks. I'm telling you. So this is the graphic that a lot of people are using this week about Rampage's ratings. Okay? And I love Brandon Thurston. Guy is an analyst king. But I even read what he said. And I'm like, man, you know, they try to be straight down the middle. And they'll do it for a couple of weeks. And then they hit you with a doozy. So a lot of websites reported this week. Get this. SmackDown was ranked number 2. Okay, SmackDown did 2.2 million viewers. SmackDown was ranked number 2. The title everybody's reporting on the websites is Rampage brings its highest viewership since April, ranks number 3 for the day on cable. Okay. SmackDown was number 2 and it did 2.2 million. Rampage was number 3. My God, what number did Rampage score? They were one notch away from SmackDown. The exact title is AEW Rampage brings in highest viewership since April, ranks number 3 for the day on cable. That is the exact statement that everybody's writing. I go on Brandon Thurston to get it, and it gets worse. This is what Brandon Thurston says. Listen to this closely. I love you, Brandon, but I got to call you out on this. Rampage ranked number 3 in the 18 to 49 amongst cable originals. That's Rampage's best original ranking since October of last year. You see this little special word, original? So it's not even compared amongst all the shows now. Now it's original programming. When I saw that, Rampage only did 486,000 viewers, everybody. How the fuck does Rampage only get 486 and people are saying SmackDown ranked number 2, Rampage ranked number 3? Then I see Brandon writing, Rampage had its best cable original rating since October. And I said, am I in the fucking Twilight Zone? What the hell were their ratings from October to today? And they started researching it. And there's, here, for example, April 22nd, they did 518, higher. But he's saying highest since October. You see how you play around with numbers to try to make it seem what it is? They did 486 fucking thousand viewers. That is pitiful. This was the Royal Rampage. You can't even break 500? Well, here's the trend. Here's the trend. If you go back to March, okay, or better yet, you go back to April, first week in April, Ring of Honor, now purchased by Tony Khan. We have WrestleMania weekend. Ring of Honor has their event as advertised. And then the following week, we start getting this Ring of Honor, you know, influx on TV. You know, we get what? Trent versus Samoa Joe? Seriously, where's that fucking wrench? I watched Trent wrestle in the past and I like Samoa Joe. Tony Khan's writing online that time, this is a fantasy match of mine. This is a match that I have visioned for years, not for us. So that started happening week after week. This is a dream match of mine, a dream match, a dream match, a dream match. Well, before he started doing that, these were ratings from April backwards, okay? We're going backwards. 600. 456, 425, 398. Remember, that was the midnight time slot, 398. Remember they aired almost midnight one night? That was after basketball, I think it was. But here, this is prior to buying Ring of Honor. This is Rampage. 526, 545, 473, 471, 549, 540, 601, 594, 526, 588, 453, which was New Year's Eve. So a lot of people were out. That Saturday, which was Christmas, 589, 571, 503, 499, 431, 556, 515, 599, 623, 533, 578, 502. Do you see how many ratings I just told you that were higher than this past Friday's Rampage? The fuck do you tell me? Best original rating since October? Who are you fooling? Who are you fooling? Look at the ratings. Since he started putting the Ring of Honor influence on TV. 518, 464, 292, 340, 410, 341, 475, 476, 331, 422, 486. Their rating of 486 from Friday is pretty identical to their June 10th rating, which was 476. It was only off by 10,000 viewers. Their 18 to 49 demographic Friday was the same as June 10th. What you are seeing is that now June 10th, June 3rd, and Friday all had the same demo and were in 10,000 viewers of each other. The new norm for AEW is right around 450. So don't say to me, you know, this is the best since October because these numbers have gone down pathetically. I don't like comparing demos, but do you see this, the sneakiness of it? For many weeks, Rampage had to air in wacky time slots because of sports. Trust me, I did the Rampage watch parties. So they had wacky time zones. So now you're in its regular time slot, and now they're saying, oh, best of this since this. And of course, because for numerous weeks, it had a shitty time slot. So that is the ridiculousness of what we saw today about the Rampage rating. Now, I also want to talk about this. Yeah, my Photoshop is getting a little better. My thumbnails are getting a little better. Undisputed injuries. The undisputed injuries. We found out that Santana's knee injury is as bad as we unfortunately were worried. He blew out his knee. And the early reports is that he's going to need surgery and Santana will be out until 2023. I don't know. how you could have prevented that injury last week on Blood and Guts. So, you know, in defense of AEW and in defense of Santana, it was just the way he landed on his leg. You know, look, I think about Vince that time when he walked down the ring and tore both of his fucking quads. How do you do that? I could see tearing one. How do you tear both? Like, you tear one side and your other quad is like, oh, yeah, you think you're good? Watch this. And he tears both. How do you do that? So anyway, Santana, unfortunately, blew out his knee. Tony Khan, you know, doesn't know how to professionally really say these things. So, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, unfortunately, he's going to be out for an extended period of time, and this, this, and that. So, unfortunately, Santana is out. So now, when you really start looking at these injuries, you know, we have CM Punk out. Now, the good thing is, CM Punk, believe it or not, I expect him back on TV within 2 weeks. Might be a commentary position, might come out there to cut a promo. But CM Punk is not going to be out as long as people think. You know, he's already been out for a good month. And, you know, the prognosis was 3, maybe 4 months. So you wait 2, 3 weeks, you bring him back on TV, you're already halfway home. And if he comes out there, does commentary, cuts a promo, this, this, and that, you know, some people, they set up storylines or they set up matches. I mean, look what's been going on with Jay Lethal and Samoa Joe. There's been these challenges for 9 fucking weeks with all this shit going on. And a match doesn't even happen for another, what, 3 weeks? Pretty much 2.5 weeks. So Punk is out. Adam Cole, unfortunately, we talked about this Monday, you know, his concussion is so concerning that he had to miss even going on video from his house. The lights, headaches, nauseousness. So Adam Cole, you know, as I said on Monday, you know, say an extra prayer for him because his concussion is a little bit worse than people realize. And with concussions, you never know, man. You look at what happened with Bret Hart that time, and I'm not putting this in the Bret Hart category, but trust me, when we saw Goldberg hit the mule kick on Bret Hart at that time, we had no idea. No idea how bad that was. We knew he was going to be out for a little bit, but no one ever thought that that was career-ending. I'm not trying to clickbait or tease that it's career-ending for Adam Cole. I'm not saying that at all. Not even a drop. All I'm saying is that you can't assume that, oh, he'll be back. You know, we just got to hope that he's okay. Bobby Fish has been out with an ankle injury. Bryan Danielson is out. Buddy Matthews is out. As I said, Santana will be out for the foreseeable future. Darius Martin is out of action. Jungle Boy has been out of action. Kenny Omega, and you know, he's now getting back in the press. I expect him to be back soon. You know, but when he makes the comments that another serious injury and he's done, you know, that could be. That could be. Kyle O'Reilly is out of action and maybe out longer than you think. Lee Johnson out of action. Layla Hirsch, what, torn ACL? She ain't back until next year. Red Velvet out of action. Sky Blue out of action. And there's even other names that we haven't even brought up. I mean, Kip Sabian, yeah, every week he's got bag over the head syndrome. Like he shows up with a bag over the head. I mean, is he this guy ever going to wrestle again? Not saying that I want him on my TV, but what's going on with him? You think of Jeff Hardy with his addiction. We just got Anthony Bowens back. So, you know, there is a lot of injuries, and I don't know what you can do to prevent them. Because the very popular comment that a lot of people have been saying online about the AEW injuries is these guys are too reckless in what they do. And honestly, when I first heard that, I said, yeah, you know, AEW does not pull these guys back. They do not tell them, look, we want to prolong your career. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't do this. That's why if you see WWE, and we always use Ricochet as a great example. Ricochet, my God, half of his insane moves we never get to see on WWE television. They don't want to do it because it's such an elevated risk for injury. But I started looking back at some of these injuries. You know, Britt Baker was out for a little while. You had some, Chris Statlander, I think, was out for a little while. We've had people out with injuries. But if you look at this latest crop of injuries, I mean, are you really asking CM Punk not to jump off a top rope anymore? I mean, Santana's was freaky. Kyle O'Reilly, it's just a culmination of just adding aggravation, you know, to soreness and injury and sprains. But if you actually look at each person's injury, you really cannot look, for the most part, at a particular spot where somebody says, what an idiot. Like, we fear that that's going to happen to Sammy Guevara. It happened with Ray Phoenix. Every time I hear that, I think of fennel. Want some fennel? Ray Phoenix. But in the case of a lot of these guys, they didn't do a stupid move where you're like, you see, you deserve it. You see, you idiot, you fucking tried to do something you shouldn't have and you got hurt. Jeff Hardy had bumps and bruises from doing the stupid dives that wasn't necessary. But with a lot of these wrestlers who were out with injuries, they didn't do any stupid move. Because trust me, if they did a dumb move which led to their injury, AEW botches would be all over it. So when people write the passionate, like, AEW really needs to care about their wrestlers a little bit more, they really need to reel these people back, what does that even mean? So look, it's bad luck. But with a lot of these wrestlers, as they go older and as they've been in the ring for a lot longer, you know, Miro, look how long Miro was out with an injury. So, you know, you got it. They have to start. Not everybody needs an 18-minute match. Not everybody needs a 12-minute match, a 13-minute match, a 20-minute match. Not everything has to be totally competitive. I mean, Wardlow is kind of the exception to the rule right now, but they got to start utilizing some of these guys where if they're going to get a couple of wins, let it happen in 3 minutes, 4 minutes. You know, this, because believe it or not, you know, it's like a car has 100,000 miles on it. Sure, you probably could drive long distance and open it up and do 90 the whole trip. But the more you do that, after 100,000 miles, you're running more of a risk. The body just physically can't take it. You know, and if you notice, and I've noticed it, a lot of these injuries that have happened has been the result of multiple matches in a very short period of time and long matches. If you look at almost everybody, there are a couple of exceptions, no question. But if you look at some of these wrestlers, the wear and tear, it's because they're doing overtime and doing 20 minutes here and then doing 10 minutes here and, you know, 15 minutes here, two matches in 3 days. I know you might think the WWE schedule is like that, but in a lot of times you'll see somebody win in 3 minutes. You'll see tag teams. You'll see, you know, some variations because they try to be a little bit more careful with their wrestlers. So injuries are plaguing them big time, and it is concerning. So I don't know how you can, you know, deal with that. But, you know, we always say AEW's roster is too big. Here's where a case where it probably is a good thing that it was too big. Otherwise, you know, we probably would see more of the elevation talent on Dynamite and Rampage. So might see roughing it on a weekly basis. So, all right. We are at 74 minutes. Got one more important topic to talk about. MJF, Wardlow, Tony Khan. what we've talked about with Tony Khan's side of this, we've talked about many times before. And as each day goes by, you realize how spot on you and I have been for a while now. Wardlow was on a podcast called Casual Conversations with the Wrestling Classic. I've heard some of these shows. They're pretty good. No complaints about them at all. They brought up MJF to Wardlow. I'm going to read you what Wardlow said. And you interpret it how you want, if you think it's storyline or not. But I want to read you what Wardlow said. Then we get to Tony Khan. Wardlow says, and I quote, "Honestly, I shouldn't even give this subject the time of day. And I really don't care to. But I do understand. People got to understand. We were together for 3 years. He was the first 3 years of my career. He was a big part of my career. So if anyone is allowed to touch on this subject, it's probably me. I'll just say this. He is not a good person. He is a piece of shit. It was not enjoyable working for him. He put me through more stress than anything, and his behavior inside the business and outside the business is totally unacceptable." Kind of sounds storyline to me, doesn't it? Kind of sounds like talking on both sides of your mouth. And I'm not saying Wardlow did anything wrong, but the reason why I still believe this is 150% storyline. Remember that night we did the Don Tony show? We were live and people were telling me, "Hey, at the Fan Fest tonight, MJF booked a flight back home." And I said, "Storyline." I said, "Yeah, he's loose cannon. He didn't show up at the thing." "Yeah, loose cannon. Asshole. Loose cannon. Loose cannon. Loose cannon. Anybody could book a flight, pay an extra $25. These guys make $100,000 plus. $25 is not going to be a lot. I'm sure Tony Khan is like, hey, whatever it costs, I'll give you the money back. And you pay the extra for the cancellation fee and you cancel the flight, you got your money back." But Tony Khan's, and yes, it's a play on words, Tony Khan's silence is deafening. Because when Sasha Banks and Naomi walked out of WWE, everybody had an opinion about it. No, I am not comparing MJF walking out to Sasha and Naomi. I'm talking about the reaction. Everybody had an opinion. Hell, CM Punk even sent this public service to everybody. "See, you got to stand by your people, blah, 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 blah." So MJF walks out. Such a disrespectful thing to do. Calls the boss a fucking mark. Suddenly, TBS, you know, their censor people are asleep. That was a 9-second delay, everyone. They didn't censor anything that MJF said. That's a telltale sign right there. But you saw the IWC and the pro wrestling community reaction to Sasha and Naomi. If what MJF did was such a dick move, unprofessional and classless, why is everybody silent about it? Why is everybody in AEW saying, look, we bust our ass. We do this week in and week out and week in and week out. And yeah, maybe the guy does deserve more money, but that's not how you do business. Everybody is fucking silent about it. Every time you talk to Tony Khan, busted open, screm, whatever it is, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. We can't say MJF banged his wife because he ain't married. We can't say that he banged his boyfriend because I don't know if Tony Khan is straight or gay. I don't care. I don't care what anybody's sexual preference is. I don't think MJF kicked his dog if he's got a dog. I don't think he pissed in his gas tank. If MJF did something so unprofessional to Tony Khan and AEW, how does the leader of the company let it simmer and brew and gel and develop and let everybody come with their up to their own fucking conclusion? And suddenly the wrestling news community that does this, like we said earlier, suddenly they want to talk about it. Okay, so we won't either. We won't either. How does MJF do such an unprofessional, horrible, awful for the business, the respect and everything like that, and not even the owner sends a message to his employees. You don't throw this guy under the bus. You don't do nothing. So the more Tony Khan keeps his mouth shut, the more glaring this storyline is. Tony Khan, unfortunately, he is working his ass off. He is trying to get AEW to the next level, and he's doing a good job. But this is where having a creative booker is absolutely necessary. The reason why Tony Khan does not go on record and say anything is because if MJF does come back in a storyline, which he will, he's going to look like a fucking liar. If he goes public and says all this stuff and MJF reappears, if he says nothing, what do you think the sausage is going to be? Oh, it was a shoot before it turned into a work. And then it was a work that turned into a shoot. And now it's a shoot back into a work again. That's dumb shit they're going to spin to all of you. If Tony Khan goes on record and says things to make you believe that MJF legit walked out and it's a storyline, this motherfucker lied to the fans' faces. Tony Khan, I thought you weren't WWE. And then Tony Khan this week actually goes on record and says, yeah, I would collab with WWE. The awful company that fires hundreds of people, that treats their wrestlers like shit, their contracts are garbage, the billionaire that bangs employees and then pays hush money, you actually go on record. Because this guy, I say this nicely, this guy doesn't know how to answer these questions. Are you going to pay for abortions for people? Well, we haven't talked about that yet. What do you have to say about MJF? Oh, I have no comment, because what I say may be and will be held against me. Or what do you think about WWE? Yeah, you know, if we could do something together. This guy don't know what the fuck to say to these people. And the problem is, and I've said it before, busted open, I get it. They want Tony Khan there every week. So they're not going to piss him off. They're not going to put him in the corner. Because Tony Khan, you see how he reacts. You put him in the corner, Tony Khan ain't coming back. So you see a lot of these other people trying to rub elbows and they look like chickens doing it. They let it go. So the more... Tony Khan, the more you keep your mouth shut about the MJF, the more obvious this is total storyline. And that's fine with me. That's fine with me. But please don't everybody throw in my face, hey, oh, Tony Khan, MJF, is shoot. Every time I hear it was a shoot before it was a work, wasn't it John Kerry that said, you know, I voted for this before I didn't. I didn't vote for this before I did. Awful. Awful. This guy needs a creative booker. He needs someone that should be answering these questions, not him. Because he looks like a fool half the time he does it. And I'm just being straight on honest about it. So, with that said, One more. I'm mad because I didn't take the photo. I took a picture of Marco Stunt. That stupid motherfucker. Oh, we got to give away a photo. Let's give away the photo first, and then we'll talk about Marco Stunt for a second. All right, very quickly, somebody from the watch party is going to win this Seth Rollins Hell in a Cell signed photo. The match he had with Cody. Very, very cool. Let's put the wheel on the screen. This is everybody who was at the watch party yesterday. Some people are on stage. Some people, unfortunately, a little cutesy. You know, some people had some technical difficulties. I still put them on the wheel. But some people, you know, they clicked on the stage, and then I noticed someone's on there for like 7 minutes, didn't say a damn word, so I had to remove them politely. All right, who's going to win? Let's look. Who's getting it? Who's getting it? Who gets the Seth Rollins signed photo? Please don't let it fall in the line. Oh, who is that? Nano 71 something. Nanu. Nano, hold on. Nano 712. Congrats, Nano 712. Look, I don't mind repeat winners, but Nano never won before. So Nano, if you want your prize, you got to claim it. I think 3 days is enough time to claim, and if not, it goes back in the pool. We'll give it away. 90712. All right. Marco Stunt, he was interviewed And this is why Marco Stunt really just should stay in indie wrestling and never be heard of ever again. He's like Zach Gowen with two good legs, in my opinion. He's like a freak show more than anything else. When he first was on TV, they actually dared to let me believe that he could beat up the guys that he did. It was a joke. But I commend him working as hard as he does to try to make it. I will not take that away from him. But he actually, when asked about Christian mentioning his name last week, remember with Luchasaurus 2 weeks ago, remember when he said to Luchasaurus, remember Marco? That's what Christian said to Luchasaurus. Remember Marco? Look what happened to Marco. Well, Marco Stunt was asked about that. Now, Christian is a Hall of Famer. Christian is obviously one of the greatest at what he does. He is shining right now and just getting his character that much even more over. The guy is spectacular. Everybody's buzzing about him. So leave it to this fucking goof, this 95-pound goof, to say he thought what Christian said was lame. This is not a babyface throwing shade at a heel. Marco Stunt thinks, because he's not in AEW anymore, get my name out of your mouth. Marco should be grateful that his name was mentioned in a very high-profile storyline right now. That guy is a bitter bitch and was actually, he actually called it lame. That's why Marco Stunt, he's got a lot of learning to do about storyline and psychology. Look at Jake Hager today. Name drop in WWE. I had no problem with it because what his point was, look, you're in Ring of Honor. You're not a heavyweight champion. You're in WWE. You're not a heavyweight champion. You're not going to be heavyweight champion. Yeah, look at what I did. So, yeah, it adds to the realism. Luchasaurus, look what happened to Marco. You goof, Marco Stunt. You got to think before you say things sometimes. This was not a babyface throwing shade. So, I'm not going to read four paragraphs of what he said. He called it lame. So, all right, we are out of time. I am going to start closing this out. So, for my channel members, my elite channel members, La Nostra Familia, I put up yesterday's Patreon show. And it was a lot of fun, a lot of convo that actually didn't have to do with wrestling. If you want to check that out for the YouTube channel members, it is up for La Nostra Familia. This Saturday, I will be back for the Don Tony Show at 8 o'clock. Before we go, I definitely wanted to shout out Dear of Faye. Thank you very much. And he gave me a nice, generous super chat and a shout out for what I had said earlier. Thank you very much for that, Nier. I really do appreciate it. And Ramchen, thank you for reminding me. Thank you for reminding me. I didn't forget. One other thing. Go to the community section. There is a poll up right now. We're going to have a morning show on the weekends. The question is it going to be Saturday morning or Sunday morning? Right now, I think Saturday is well into the lead, but a lot of you still haven't voted, so that could change very quickly. If we do Saturday mornings, I'm guessing maybe 10 a.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Eastern. And the reason why we're doing a morning show is because a lot of our international friends can't tune into the shows because right now it's like 5 in the morning where they live. So by doing a Saturday morning show or a Sunday morning show, a lot of our international friends can tune in live and it be a reasonable time. And a lot of people seem to miss the Saturday morning cartoons and the Saturday morning pro wrestling, WWF superstars and all that. So this will be happening, I would say, within the next 2 weeks. Maybe we'll rotate to start. And if it really, you know, starts getting fire and momentum, then we'll keep Saturday mornings. So maybe we'll do Saturday morning 1 week, the next week Saturday evening, the week after Saturday morning, maybe we'll rotate. But that's pretty much it. So, guys, gals, it's been fun. We are at exactly 90 minutes, which is really what I had to do tonight. And definitely post your comments, any questions that I didn't get a chance to answer, post it in the comment section. I promise you, I will answer them all. So on the way out, throw that thumbs up if you enjoyed tonight's show. I will be gargling my mouth with mouthwash right after this show because I am kind of fearing there was legitimate germs on that pliers. And let me know what you thought about tonight's show, Great American Bash, and anything that's come out of it. So be well, everybody. Much love as always, and I'll see you all soon. Good night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.